Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible said this in verse number 1 of chapter number 3 of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, Father, you know the need of the service today, and I pray that thy will would be done. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we preach today. I pray, God, that you'd use us today, God. Anoint us afresh and anew, God. Help us as only you can, God. I'm reminded of what the Bible said in the book of Revelation, God, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. And God, we plead the blood of Calvary over this service today. I pray, God, that you'd use us, anoint us as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look at this passage this morning, and maybe even several other Sunday mornings. We'll just see how the Lord leads. And I want to preach on this thought, the master manipulator. The master manipulator. As we begin to read in Genesis chapter number 3, we find that there's the first sin that is recorded among mankind. Now, I want to say something to you today. I hope you don't fall out with me right here, but it is not the first sin. It's just the first sin recorded among mankind. The first sin that was ever committed was committed in heaven when Satan himself rose up against God and began to try to take authority over God and to take control of the kingdom. That was the first sin there in heaven. But here we find the first sin that is recorded among mankind, and this sin is Adam and Eve when they sin against God in the Garden of Eden. Now, I looked up that word master, and here's what it means. It means a person with the ability or power to use, control, or dispose of something. It's someone that has the ability and the power to control or to destroy something. Can I say something to you today? That is what Satan is. He is an individual that wants to control our life and to destroy our life. I looked up the word manipulate, and here's what it means. It means to manage or influence skillfully, especially in an unfair manner. What about that? Especially in an unfair manner. Can I say something to you today? The serpent in the garden did not have the best of Adam and Eve in his mind. He did not have a good intention in his mind for them, but he wanted to manipulate them and destroy their life. And that's what he did that day. Can I say something to you today? Satan is a master at that. He knows exactly what to do. I thought about this. As a matter of fact, I think it's up there. It is 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Here it is. For we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of what Satan will do. Matter of fact, Greg Neal wrote a book, and if you don't have it, it's a very interesting book to read. I know Brother Josh has it and some others in the church. It's called Satan's Toolbox. We're not ignorant of what Satan can do to us today. We know that he can destroy our life. We know that he can destroy our children. We know that he can destroy our marriages. We know that he can destroy our church. And we better realize today that there is a manipulator, and his name is Satan today. He is a master at what he does. Let me show you two or three things today. Number one, I want you to see this. I want you to see Satan deceives. He deceives today. Leslie and I was talking the other day, and I made mention of somebody, and some they don't come here to church. They have nothing to do with our church, so don't nobody try to figure out, okay? They have nothing to do with our church, because as soon as I say what I'm fixing to say, everybody's going to try to figure out if it's Randy or not. It's not Randy, okay? But I was talking to her, and I began to talk about a couple of things, and she said, you know, that individual just knows how to, she didn't say it in these exact words, but I'm going to use these words, to pull the wool over everybody's eyes. It's just amazing how they can manipulate somebody and get them to do something. Can I say something to you today? Satan deceives today. That is exactly what he does in our life. He will manipulate us into thinking everything's all right when it's really all wrong. Think about this. I begin to read through this passage of Scripture. Let me show you a couple of things. I saw this. Satan deceives with doubt. Look in verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. You see, he deceives with doubt today. You know what one of his favorite tools is? It is making us doubt the authority of this book right here. When we're the very first time in the history of the universe that we're introduced to the master manipulator, you know what the first thing he does? He brings doubt on the word of God. Yea, hath God said? You know what? Young people, your parents will try to raise you right and train you right and teach you right and get you to walk in the right way and raise you in the admonition of the Word of God. And here's exactly what will happen in your life. As you begin to get older, Satan will get in your mind and he'll cause you to doubt the Word of God. Hear me and hear me well this morning. If this book says it, that settles it today. It is the final authority. Everything we base our life off of is based off of this book. And Satan deceives by sowing doubt. If he can get you, can I say this? I don't have this wrote down. It just run through my mind. He'll cause you to doubt your salvation. If Satan can get you to doubting your salvation, you're hearing the preacher this morning, is everybody awake? If Satan can get you doubting your salvation, he's got you right where he wants you, because you'll never be a good witness to nobody else, because you don't even know if you've got it yourself. He'll cause you to doubt your salvation. He'll cause you to doubt your separation. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? The Bible said, come out from the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And the devil will cause you to doubt your separation and say, you've got to fit in with the world to reach the world. If I fit in with the world, then why do I need to reach the world, Brother Andy? Why does the world want what I have if I have the same thing that they have? Somebody say amen. He'll cause you to doubt your salvation. He'll cause you to doubt your separation. But can I say this? He'll cause you to doubt your supplication. He'll cause you, somebody write those points down because I don't have them wrote down and I might want to preach that again one day. He'll cause you to doubt your supplication. He'll tell you that praying does not work. He'll say, you've prayed, and nothing has changed about this situation. There's no need to pray anymore. You know what he does? As soon as we're introduced to the master manipulator, he sows seeds of doubt. He deceives by doubts, but watch this. He deceives by discontent. Look what the Bible said. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. There was one that they couldn't. They had everything else in the garden for them to enjoy. The other day, we got that little old fence down there now, and girls has got them some goats down there. We goat farmers now. And girls has got them some goats down there, and I was watching that mama goat. Brother Will, she went right over to the edge of the fence and was looking off in that thicket hollering. And you know what? I walked up to her and I said, now, Mama, because that's what I call her. I don't know what her name is. I just call her Mama. I said, now, Mama, nothing against my mama, though. I said, now, Mama, everything that you've got and everything that you want is right here inside this fence. There's water in here. There's sweet feet in here. There's everything that you want right inside. There's three girls that comes down here and loves on you and pets on you. Everything that you need and everything that you want is right here. Can I say something? In the garden, everything that they wanted, everything that they needed, they had fellowship with God. They had everything that they needed. But you know what Satan done? He brought in that deceiving of discontent. He said, hey, there's one thing that you can't have. Let's focus on that. You know what it caused Adam and Eve to do that day? It caused them to have discontent in their mind and get their eyes on that one thing they couldn't have. Let me tell you what happens to marriages today. Tell you what happens to marriages today. The devil gets in a husband's mind or a wife's mind and begins to sow that seed of doubt. Well, your spouse don't love you no more. Your spouse don't show you enough attention anymore. Is anybody hearing the preacher preach today? And then you know what ends up happening? There's discontent there. There's discontent. That's the way the master manipulator works. Watch this, verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You see, Satan deceives with doubt and discontent, but then he deceives with denial. He said, you're not going to die. If you take of that, you're not going to die. You see, Satan does not like to accept the fact that there is a God of judgment. There is a God of judgment. And you know what was fixing to happen in the life of Adam and Eve, and for the first time in the history of mankind, the judgment of God was fixing to be shown upon Adam and Eve. And you know what Satan done? Satan deceived them with that denial. Number one, this morning I see Satan deceives. Number two, I'm moving quickly. Watch this. After Satan deceives in those first four verses, man decides. Satan deceives, but man decides. You see, Satan can lay a lot of things out in front of us. You remember that old song, and I think it was a song, or maybe it was just what he said, but I think it was Flip Wilson. that used to say, the devil made me do it. Y'all remember that? The devil made, why did you do that? The devil made me do it. I've asked my girls before, why did you do that? Well, Olivia made me do it. Madeline made me, Victoria made, I'm thinking, Victoria, Madeline, you're 17. Victoria's 8, and Victoria made you do that? You know what happens a lot of times in our life? Here's exactly what happens. We blame what happens to us on everybody else. Well, this one made me do that, or that one made me, you know what? This one hurt my feelings, and they made me punch them in the nose. We blame it on everybody else. Man decides what man is going to do. I decided to get up this morning. Man, I had a hard time getting up this morning. Anybody ever have a hard time getting up? If I ever have a hard time getting up, it's on Sunday morning. I crawled around in this attic yesterday, put the mics in right there, and then we went to visit a family, Leslie and I did, after I did that. We done it right before visitation started. And I went to visit a family, and we were sitting over there at Brother Ken and Miss Barbara's house, and son, my allergies closed down. My sinus, I got to coughing and I had to get up and walk out. And I told him, I said, I promise you I don't have COVID. I got antibodies for that. I just had them checked. But I'm dying. And I said, I need some water. I coughed and I gagged. Finally, I just had to leave, Brother Andy. I've never had that to happen. I felt awful. And I went and I got me some Benadryl. That was a mistake. For me to take Benadryl at 10:30 in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, that's a mistake. I went to sleep at 2:30 yesterday afternoon. I woke up at 5:30. I'm just being honest with you. Say you slept all. Yep, I slept all afternoon. If you'd have took Benadryl and you the way I am, and then I come home, I come up to the church and done some things up here and prayed up here. Then I went back home and I laid back down. I got up and I laid back down. I got up again, Brother Jeff, and then I laid back down. And then when I finally did go to sleep about 3 o'clock this morning, it was like all the Benadryl kicked in again. And man, I'm just going to tell you, come 6:30 this morning, I was. But I had to decide to get out of the bed and to get ready and to come to the house of God. You see, man decides what man is going to do. Satan tempts, but man decides his action on that temptation. Watch this. Here's a verse we quote many times. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their lands. Watch this. There is an if and a then in that verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. You know what God's saying? Here's what God is saying. God is saying, if you choose to do this, then I will do this. And in that day, in Genesis chapter number 3, there was an if and a then that took place. There was an if and a then. In our life, Satan deceives us, church. He's the master at that. We're not ignorant of that. He is the master of that. But we do not have to fall to that. It all falls back. One thing that people have got away from today is simply this right here. Accepting personal responsibility. I can name you an adults after adults after adults, and I don't mean this ugly. I'm just being honest. Anytime anything goes wrong, anytime that this or that happens, they always have Eve syndrome. Well, this one said do it. Or here's the reason my kid done this. Or here's the, you know, the reason your kid acts the way they do? Because they're full of the devil and hell itself. And if we don't teach, everybody all right up in the house of God today, if we don't teach them right, and if we don't train them right, and if we don't train them to make the right decision when Satan deceives them. We was looking at, we put a different background up each month. And when we got to the manipulator, Brother Randy, we had all kinds of pictures. When you just go home and put in pictures of Satan, don't do it with your kids. And everything that we found, I was scared. I was like, no, Stephanie, take that off. She said, no, Miss Leslie, take that one off that screen. I can't handle it. So we put in manipulator, and this picture came up. And you know, that's exactly what Satan wants to do. And can I say something? I wish I had me one of them little dolls like that. I might get me one by next Sunday. That's what he wants to do with your life. He wants to deceive you and make you doubt and ultimately destroy your life. But here's what you got to remember. At any point in time I want to, I can reach up and cut the strings. That's the difference in me and that doll up there. I can cut the strings because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And when you allow Satan to run your life, it's your own fault. It's my own fault. It's, hey, look, if I go out of here today and get drunk and cheat on my wife, I've done that. If you go out of here today, teenager, and rebel against God and do the things of this world, it's nobody else's fault but your own. You chose to do that. There's man's decision. Look what man's decision was right here. Man's decision was based off of a few things. Look in verse number 6. It was based off of a wrong passion. The Bible said this, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was based off of a wrong pleasantness. Look in verse number 6. Gave, or she did take, or it was to make one wise. It was based off of pride. It was to make her wise. It was based off of all of the wrong things. And before it was all said and done, because of man's decision, there was a proselyting that took place. And she said, here, Adam, you do this. You know what Adam done? Adam partook of the same thing and ended up in the same mess. Let me tell you one reason I try my best to be very picky who my kids hang around. Because you are right now, or you soon will be, who your friends are. You are right now, or you soon will be. You know what? If they got a bad attitude, if I watch them right now... I'm going to get in trouble right here. I can preach to you because you don't have no kids and you don't yet. But I watch them around the church and around youth outings, and if they disrespect their parents, if they talk back to their parents, if they've got a stinking, rotten attitude, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do everything in my power to keep my kids away from them. Amen. Let me tell you the reason why. They will proselyte your child and make your child become just like they are. Man's decision. Satan deceives man's decision. Let me show you something. Let me show you something right here. God detects. Look what happened in verse number 9. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Let me just say this. God hadn't lost Adam. God knew exactly where Adam was at. God's still all sovereign and all knowing. He knew where Adam was at. Here's what he wanted right here. He wanted Adam to realize where he was at. God knew where he was at. Can I say this to you? When you found yourself in the mess of sin, hey, God knew where you was at. But the reason he said, where art thou? Is because God wanted us to know and realize where he was. God detected what was done wrong. Watch this. If you go to verse 16 through 24, sin destroyed. Sin destroyed. Now I'm preaching to get to one place. Sin destroyed. You know what it done to the life of Adam and Eve? It destroyed them to a certain extent. Brother Chris and I were talking the other day about several different things in the Bible. He asked me, he said, And he didn't in these exact terms, but in a roundabout way he said, do you think Adam and Eve would still be alive if they didn't sin? And my response back to him immediately was absolutely. There's not a doubt in my mind Adam and Eve would still be alive today if they hadn't sinned. For the wages of sin is death. It was sin that brought death upon Adam and Eve that day. You see, sin will always destroy. If sin is not dealt with, if sin is not exposed, if sin is not gotten out of our life, the end result of sin is destruction. I'm going to ask you a question today. If God hated sin so much that he allowed his own son to die because of it, why do you think he's going to let you get by with it? If God hated sin that much, I know we're not shouting and running this morning, but I believe we're right where God wants us at. If God hates, why do we think that we can live in sin? And here's what we do a lot of times in our mind whenever we say sin. We think of the quote-unquote big sins. We think of murders and we think of this and we think of that. Hear me and hear me. Well, the Bible said that if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of all. There is no little sin and big sin in the eyes of God. Sin is sin today. And sin destroys today. Think about the serpent. The serpent said he was, the Bible said the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And the serpent was walking and talking when it come to Adam and Eve. So preach, you've lost your mind. I lost my mind. I read my Bible. The serpent came up to him and talked to him. You say, how do you know he was walking? Because part of its condemnation was being cursed to the ground the rest of its life. That's the reason the serpent's on the ground today. It's because God cursed it because of sin. Sin destroys. He also cursed mankind that day. He said because of sin, mankind would die. So watch this in Genesis chapter number 3. Satan deceives. Man decides. God detects. Sin destroys. And I want to back up and just say something. Man decides. Man decides. You decide to do wrong when you do wrong. When you get mad and fly off the handle, you decided to not control your temper. That's not your wife's fault because she was nagging you. I did not get one amen from one woman in here. So let me back up and hit that one more time. It's not your wife's fault because she was nagging you. Amen. Holly said amen. I got two or three more. I think one of the men was in there, and I'm not sure about all that. It's because you decided. Let me tell you something. Every sin that is committed, it's because you decide to do it. You decide within yourself. You decide within yourself. Man decides. God detects. Sin destroys. But I want you to see this in closing today. Grace delivers. Grace delivers. Grace delivers. Did man and Adam and Eve, man and woman, mess up in the Garden of Eden? Absolutely they did. Was their life a mess in the Garden of Eden? Absolutely it was. Did they go completely against God? Absolutely they did. And then they tried with everything in their power to cover that up within themselves. And it wasn't good enough. But watch the grace of God. Watch this. He came to them in verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve didn't go looking for God that day. Adam and Eve had messed up. Adam and Eve's life was in a mess. Adam and Eve had got some leaves and decided to try to cover all their sin up because they knew the day would come that God would come walking back by and looking for them. But can I say something to you today? Aren't you glad that in the midst of our mess ups that God didn't give up, that God came to where we was at. God came to where they was at that day, and God knew exactly where they was at. I'm glad that God didn't say, well, I can't go there, and I can't go there, and I can't go there. Can I say something to you today? You'll never find a place in this world that the grace of God can't go. It don't matter how dark. It don't matter how low. It don't matter how bad. I'm glad that the grace of God will extend to any place in this world. the grace of God delivered them. He came to them. Watch this. He called them. Look in verse number 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Where art thou? You know what? I'll never forget July the 20th, 1994, halfway back on the left-handed side of Turner's Creek Baptist Church, that night that the good God of glory showed me grace and came to where I was at. He just didn't come to where I was at, but he called me out that night. No, it was not an audible voice, but can I say this? It was louder than an audible voice that night. When God called me, he called them. Watch this. He came to them, he called them, but watch this, he confronted them. Look in verse number 11, and he said unto them, who told thee that thou wast naked? He confronted them. And I want you to hear me tonight, this morning, God will confront you with your sin. He confronted them that day. I want to say this to you. It's one thing for a parent to confront you. It's one thing for a teacher to confront you. It's one thing for a spouse to confront you. It's one thing that if you're living in the world and your children confront you, but it's a whole nother thing. It's a whole nother story. It's a whole nother ball game when God Almighty confronts you. Daddy had told me I needed to do right. And Mama had told me I needed to do right. Sunday school teachers had told me I needed to do right and preachers had. Oh, but that night that God came to where I was at and called me out, he confronted me that day, and it was a whole nother ball game. Watch this. He came to them. He called them. He confronted them. Come start playing softly. He chastened them. He chastened them. There's still correction in the hand of God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He did. He corrected them. He chastened them. I remember growing up. I've said this before, but I remember growing up. My mama, I can remember one time that my daddy whooped me and I was 15 years old. And he told me after that, he said, if I ever whoop you again, he just pulled up his left hand. He's left-handed. And balled his fist up. He said, I'll just whoop you like a man. He said, you're old enough now. I'm not going to use a belt no more. And to this day, I still believe that. To this day, he's 68 years old and had a bad round of sickness this past year, but I still wouldn't go toe-to-toe with him this day. He told me, he said, I'll beat you, is what he said. He said, I'll beat you like a man. And he would have. But I remember my mama, well, it's about every other day. She went on a whooping spree around our house with me. Becca never got whooped. And bless God, it wasn't because she was that good. She was just a good manipulator. She throwed me under the bus many a times. I got the wheels beat off of me for it. I still bear the marks. Christ bears the marks of Calvary. I bear the marks of Jan. I remember I smarted off to her one time, and she wrung, Brother Lord, she wrung my that fast. I mean, before I even knew what, she wrung my jaws. You say, what'd you say about? My mama raised one dummy, but she wasn't with us. I didn't say one word back. I knew better than say anything back. My mama used to would say this. Boy, it sure hurts me a whole lot worse than it does you when I whoop you. And I always wanted to say, give me the belt and you bend over then. Let me suffer the worst of this. If it hurts you worse. Anybody with me right there? Come on now. Somebody say amen and help me. Let me whoop you then. But I really realized what that was whenever I had children. Whenever I had children. There's been very, 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 very few times that daddy's whooped the girls. Usually mama does. Just one or two times along the way that they was rebellious and wasn't listening to mama, and daddy just had to take care of business. And I realize what that means now, Brother Stan. And let me just tell you something. The Bible says, spare the rod and you'll spoil the child. I'm not for beating your children. But you better teach them there's consequences to doing wrong. I realized that once I had children. But this morning I was thinking, talking about the chastening hand of God. That's what happened in Adam and Eve's life. Yeah, there was grace, but there was correction also. And I thought about this morning, when we do wrong, does it break the heart of God? And here's exactly what I thought about. It hurts Him worse than it hurts us. And let me tell you the reason why. He loved us so much that He let His Son die. He turned His back on it. Hey, look up in there. He turned His back on His Son. He turned His back on the darling Lamb of God that day for you and I. So when He corrects us, I dare say it does hurt Him worse than it hurts us. But then watch this. In verse number 21, grace delivered. Here's what He said in verse number 21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. Can I say this to you? Yeah, He came to them, He called them, He confronted them, He corrected them. But aren't you glad that He covered them? He made those coats of skin. So, can I preach it in our dispensation? Blood had to be shed for those skins to be made. And on Calvary, He allowed blood to be shed so you and I, He that knew no sin became sin, so that you and I could be made the righteousness of God through Him. It's through Him today. When I think about Satan today, I think about the master manipulator. If we was to go to the jailhouse today, there's numerous in the jailhouse today that their lives are destroyed because of sin. Matter of fact, just this past week, I've talked to different individuals in this room and things that they've had to deal with in their family. But sin has brought discontent and discomfort in their family. But aren't you glad today that there's a God that will bestow grace if man will decide to allow Him to? God will never push Himself on you. God speaks in a still small voice, and then we decide the consequences, whether we listen to Him or whether we don't. The master manipulator. Father, as we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Father, You know the need of this service. I pray, God, that Your will and way would be done. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and there's a few moved around the altar, and I just say the Lord spoke to you this morning. You do business with Him. Don't allow Satan to destroy your life. He is the master at what he does. He is a master at, he knows your weaknesses. He knows what buttons to push with you. And if you allow Him to, He'll completely destroy your life. I say this morning, if you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you've never been saved. Boy, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that'll forgive you. There's a God that'll change your life if you allow Him to.